You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Last time I spoke about the incredible story of when the Ark of God went into the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months and the outcome of that situation. You know, preceding this, the Ark had been on an incredible journey. It had been captured by the Philistines for 7 months, had been in Beth Shemesh, and then it had been in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. And then King David decided he wanted to bring the Ark back to the city of Jerusalem. And on the way, something tragic happened, which brought fear into his life, and he decided that I'm going to put the Ark somewhere else. And we pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, and it says this. So David would not move the Ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. You know, the door was opened. Even if Obed-Edom wasn't sure about how this was going to work out, especially after hearing what had just happened to Uzzah, he opened the door to the Ark of God and a completely new way of life opened up for him. He opened the door to so much blessing. He opened the door to a new way of relating and getting to know God, a new way of understanding who God was. It transformed his family, it transformed himself, and there was healing and power and so much that happened from him opening the door to the Ark of God. You know, sometimes if you hear a knock at the door and you think, oh, maybe it's one of your friends, and you go and answer the door and suddenly you see a salesperson there who then tries to do the thing of trying to talk to you and connect with you, hopefully to hoping to get a sale or whatever it is that they're trying to promote to you. And, you know, you've got your three choices there. You either go, oh, no, all good, shut the door really quickly. Or if you're like me, sometimes you just, the peacemaker in you kicks in and you try then hear their repertoire and then go, oh, no, no, I'm all good. No, sorry, I don't need that. Or you're someone that just embraces the whole conversation and you do what they ask you to do. So you can imagine that morning or that day when Obed-Edom opens the door. He would not have been expecting King David to be standing there, let alone the Ark of God being put into his house. So he had the Ark placed in his house, and before he knew it, his whole household was blessed while the Ark of God was there. And the word reached King David of this blessing, and he then wanted to transport the Ark the correct way back to the city of Jerusalem. You know, what I like about Obed-Edom is that I can just imagine, you know, what was going through his mind when that day presented itself. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to transpire. He didn't know how long the Ark was going to be there. But I can imagine him taking on that responsibility seriously because the Ark of God was in his house. I could imagine him showing respect and treasuring what was now in his house. You know, what does that mean? You know, this is not just something that we can take lightly. This was the Ark of God. He'd grown up hearing about what the Ark of God was. He just heard what happened to Uzzah, and now the Ark of God is in his house. And he thought, I'm sure he would have had conversations maybe to his wife and definitely to himself, but we cannot treat this lightly. This is a serious thing. We've been given a treasure. We need to honour what's been given to us and been placed in our house. You know, what does that mean? I think he would have been someone that would have protected what God had given him. And I reckon he would have encouraged his family to do the same. I'm sure he showed his children the way to experience God and who God was and to teach them to praise and worship him. He wanted to also show them how to enjoy God. You know, God is not someone to be feared. He is someone to be enjoyed. He's someone to be worshipped and praised, and to embrace his presence and to love being with him, to give God all the glory and all the honor. He wanted all of them to see the Ark as God's presence in their home. Can you imagine him saying to everybody, God's in this house, don't mess around? Now, that's a quick way to get your children to be obedient, I'm hoping. You know, when my brother was about 3 or 4, he used to stay at my nana's place and get looked after by her. Yes, my brother did get looked after by someone else besides my mum. And when she was on the phone, she would say to my brother, Johnny Governor's on the phone, so you cannot say anything. You just need to be quiet right now. And you know what? It actually worked. He wouldn't have known who Johnny Governor was, but that was her way of trying to keep him quiet while she was on the phone. And I don't believe it, but it actually worked. He kept quiet. So you can imagine these children in this household when Obed-Edom says to them, the Ark of God's in this house. We need to make sure that we protect and honor. I reckon they would have done that and carried through with that. Can you imagine for a minute the atmosphere of expectation in this house? Can you imagine it? You know, even this morning as Arzy got up and took us around communion, there was an atmosphere of God's presence in this place. When we were in our prayer meeting this morning at church this morning, there was an atmosphere of his presence. Can you imagine the atmosphere in this house and the expectations surrounding it because of it? You know, sometimes when I've been at work, there's been a child that's been unsettled. And I tell you what, that can actually change the atmosphere in that room. So I know what a bad atmosphere can feel like. But you know what? When I come into God's presence, that atmosphere can change everything that I may be thinking and feeling at that point of time. Because his presence is tangible, it is real, and it is here to change our lives. So you can imagine this expectation that was in this house. You know, Obed-Edom would have been worshipping and praising God with his family. He may have started out by encouraging them to do that, but I tell you, I reckon not long they would have been doing it for themselves because of the atmosphere of God's presence in that place. You know, his presence, his peace, his joy, his abundance would have been there with them. How could they help but not worship and praise their God and be involved in that lifestyle for themselves? Waking up every morning with such an expectation, what is God going to say to me today? What are we going to talk about today? What blessing is he going to bring into our lives today? How am I going to worship my God today? Because, you know, every day we can worship God differently. How can I worship God today? The atmosphere of expectation that was in that home. If you've had a bad day at work or if you had a bad day at school, all you needed to do was just rush home. And the atmosphere, the expectation in your heart to, you know, God, I need you to roll away this burden right now. I've had a bad day at school or I've had a bad day at work. And right now I come in to this place with such an expectation because I know that you're here and I know that you want to talk with me and meet with me and I can worship and honor you. Imagine the weight of his presence in that house. You know, in 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, it says this, the trumpeters and the singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, he is good. His faithful in love endures forever. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. Can you imagine that scene? They're performing, they're playing with their instruments, they're singing and worshiping God. He is good. His mercy endures forever. And then the weight of his presence just comes and touches their life so much so that they couldn't continue to play. They couldn't continue to worship with maybe a loud voice because of the weight of his presence. Who here has experienced the weight of his presence? It is something that can change your life. And I know that many of you have experienced the weight of his presence. Can you imagine ringing your boss that morning because of the weight of presence is on your life and saying, I can't come to work today? Can you imagine that conversation? You know, are you sick? No, I can't get up from my bed because the weight of God's presence is on me. What's going on? But you know what? Let us have an atmosphere of expectation in our lives and in our households because we know that God is already with us and wants to transform our lives with his love and his peace and his presence. their life, Obed-Edom's life, was transformed for 3 months, and for their life revolved around the presence of God. It saturated their lives, and everyone and everything was blessed. Obed-Edom's approach to the presence of God caused others to want and desire God's glory. David heard and saw what was happening, and he brought the ark back up to Jerusalem. But it wasn't long until Obed-Edom followed to be where the ark of God was. You know, Obed-Edom became a gatekeeper, a worshipper, and a treasurer. He became a gatekeeper for the presence of God. He had opened the door to God, and now God was opening doors for him. He was the natural choice. You know, when you open the door to God and all that he has for you, he will open doors for you. Doors that no man can shut, he will open. And you know what? They're not going to just be a little bit ajar where you've got to try and sneak your way in. They're going to be flung open, and they're going to stay open so you can walk through and see what God has for you. You open the door to God, you have a heart of expectation, and let me tell you, those doors will be flung open for you. I know they've happened already in so many of your lives, and I know they're going to continue to happen in 2020. God is going to open doors that no man can shut. Amen. Let me just encourage you right now. I just had that thought about even with our pop-up services. There are going to be doors opening into those suburbs that no man can shut, because the glory of God is going to come and touch people's lives. Why? Because God is interested in people. He wants people to come to know him. And let me encourage you, let's band together in prayer in our connect groups and say, we're going to stand because there are doors opening this year that no man will shut in the name of Jesus. He became a gatekeeper. Can you imagine the expectation in his life, just standing at the gate, seeing people go through? God's going to speak to you today. God's going to touch your life. How do I know? Because he's done it to me, and I know he's going to do it to you. Being just that, you know, being a host at the door. Can you imagine us? Suddenly, get in. You can't wait. I just can't wait to see what happens to you in your life this morning. You'll see us jumping up and down from now on. He became a worshipper. He'd experienced worship in a new way and wanted to continue to experience that worship in where the ark of God was. He became a treasurer. God had revealed treasures to him, and he had seen things he hadn't seen before. God revealed truth and purpose to him. And this created such a hunger in him to pursue more of God's truth, purpose, and his treasure. You know, this morning, if you don't already know this, the presence of God is life-changing. He could not help but be where God was. Something had started in his spirit, and he couldn't contain it, and he just had to be where God was. His presence is real because God's real. God is real, therefore his presence is real. And it created such a hunger and desire in him that he had to be where God was. You know, think back to your own experiences with God. You know, I'm sure there have been times where you've just encountered God in such a real and tangible way that you can look back and go, I know God spoke to me, or I know God really touched me at that time. I know God really healed me. I know that his peace came that surpassed all understanding. There are so many times in our lives, I'm sure, that we could talk with one another about and testify of God's goodness, because you know what? His presence is real, and it's real to change and transform lives. And, you know, as we begin to talk to one another about his presence, I don't know about you, but it actually stirs my heart for more of God. I know there's been times where I've talked to my family and heard about their experiences, and then I just walk away going, God, I want more of you. And that's what we want our conversations to be about, where we walk away going, God, I want more of you. A God that opens doors that no man can shut. A God that transforms our lives. A God that brings peace like no other. A God that brings joy. A God that brings mercy and grace. As we talk to one another, as we commune with one another, we can walk away with such excitement, with such an expectation in our own hearts to see God move and transform our lives and our families. Amen? You know what? God desires to be with us. He truly, truly desires to be with us. He loves us so much that he wants to be with us. He actually created us for relationship with him. And no matter what you may have heard or what you may think, This is a fundamental truth. God desires to be with us. He has created us for relationship and he loves us so much. And he wants to be with us. You know what? This morning, God wasn't surprised by David's decision. He wasn't actually even surprised by his fear. He wasn't surprised that he ended up in Obed-Edom's house. In fact, it was part of God's plan. And the good news for us this morning is that there was nothing actually particularly special about Obed-Edom. You know, he wasn't a king. He was just a man, and he was a family man. There's only a few scriptures in the Bible about him. I'm sure his family wasn't perfect, amen. I'm sure his kids weren't perfect, amen. And I'm sure they would have had issues. But you know what? The encouraging thing is, despite the fact that he may have been an ordinary man, God had a special plan for his life at that time. And I want to encourage you too, the fact that Obed-Edom didn't allow fear to stop the ark of God coming into his house. And I want to encourage you, I don't want you to allow fear to stop you from encountering the presence of God in such a real and tangible way. You may have heard about things about the presence of God. You may have seen things on TV. You may have read things about the presence of God. But let me tell you, God loves and cares for you so much. He wants to be with you so much that he doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be scared. Yes, he is real. Yes, he's God, but he loves you so much and wants to connect with you. He wants to be with you. And I think this story is in our Bible to let us know that we can just be ordinary people going through our day-to-day life. And you know what? We may not even know what's going to happen, but one day we may open the door and something happens that transforms not only our life, but our family's life and our family's life. That's the God that we serve. An ordinary day can turn out to be a supernatural day with God because of who we serve. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he loves us so much and wants to be with us. And this ordinary family, this ordinary man, their life was transformed forever. Obed-Edom was willing to have the Ark of God in his house and look after it and protect it. And it created a desire for more of God, which impacted the choices he made. You know, God loves us. He wants to be with us, despite how we may even see ourselves. We might sometimes feel like we're not worthy. We may sometimes think, you know, but I've done that this week, or this has happened in my life. But God wants to connect with you. He wants to be with you. He doesn't want you to allow fear. He doesn't want you to allow how you see yourself to stop you from entering into all that he has for you. Blessings, his presence, his joy, his abundance, it's all there for you. But most importantly, God just wants to have relationship with you. He just loves you so much that he wants to connect with you and be with you. He wants to embrace us and love us. He doesn't want us to run or hide from him. He wants us to be with him and present in the moment. So let me encourage you, please don't allow fear to stop you from allowing God to show you how much he loves you and wants to be with you. You know what? I've grown up in church. I've been in church for a very long time. In fact, I've been in church for about 30 years. That shows you how old I am. I know, I'm really 25. But you know, even growing up in church, sometimes there can be a mystical element to the presence of God. Like, what is it? Who is he? What is going on? And there's things that can happen that can potentially make you feel a little bit like, oh, I don't know about this. But let me encourage you once again, and I'll probably keep saying that, God loves you and wants to be with you. And there is nothing mystical about it. There is nothing that needs to be fearful about who he is and what God is. Be open. All I ask you to do is open the door and be open to seeing what God can do. Because you know what? He can come and transform your life so much that those fears will be completely eradicated because of his presence and his love for you. Just walk away from this message this morning knowing how much God loves you, how much God wants to be with you, and his presence is real to change your life this morning. You know, what did Obed-Edom learn from this experience? I believe one of the things he learned was boldness. I think this experience created such a boldness in Obed-Edom's life. Remember, At that time, the holy place was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and only the high priest was permitted to enter the holy place, and then only once a year. Entering the holy place was most serious for the high priest. Before he entered, the other priests attached a belt to his robe and tied a rope around his ankle, which you'll find in Exodus 28:34-35. And the tinkling of the bell would let them know that the high priest was still alive as he performed his duties in the holy place. So if there was no bell tinkling, you know what was happening. Bearing all this in mind, it makes this next scripture almost seem downright shocking. But in Hebrews 10:19, it says this. And now we are brothers and sisters, that's you and I, in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary, not with a bell on or a rope around our waist, in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. Let me read this to you again, because this is the truth that you and I now walk in. We don't have a rope around our waist. We don't have a bell on our ankle. Because you know why? Because of the blood of Jesus. And it says, and now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come to the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Obed-Edom had such a boldness to be with God, which compelled him to be where the Ark of God was. What do you think God wants us to know from this scripture this morning? He's telling us that in Jesus, we can enter the holy place where the presence of God is, and we can do it not with fear and trembling, but with boldness this morning. Aren't you glad about that? What gives us this right to enter God's presence with such boldness? It's the blood of Jesus. His blood cleanses us and it sanctifies us, making us worthy to enter God's presence as Jesus himself. So one thing we can do is thank God for the blood of Jesus. I thank you that by this blood, I have the right now to enter your presence. And as we praise and thank God for the blood of Jesus, boldness begins to rise within us, because it's our right this morning. It's our right to enter into the holy place with boldness and without fear or hesitation because of what God has done. And so in your quiet time, when you're driving, when you're in the shower, whatever your time is, God, I just thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for your blood that was shed for me, has made a way. I now walk in freedom and redemption. And because of that, I can enter in to your presence with boldness. No hesitation, no thing around my waist or a bell on my ankle. I can just come straight in and say, God, I worship you. I'm so glad I can be with you. I'm so glad that you love me this morning, and that what you have done for me exceeds anything that I could ever do for you, except for just worship and praise your name. Thank you that we can have boldness this morning because of the blood of Jesus. No hesitation. Coming into the presence of God freely, with freedom and joy in our hearts because of what God has done for us. What else can help us enter into the presence of God? The Word of God. One of the most basic and most powerful ways to experience the presence of God is through His Word. You may be thinking, how can I experience God by reading his book? But look at John 1:1. It says this, in the beginning, I'm sure we've heard this a few times already this year, so I'm sure you should be able to just say it to me without even looking at the screen. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, this morning, God and his Word are inseparable. When you are in the presence of his Word, when you're reading the Word, you are in the presence of God. There is something so powerful that happens when you open the Word and spend quality time in it. Something happens in your heart. You may not feel it straight away, but something does take place, because his Word and who he is are inseparable. Reading the Word feeds your spirit, and the Word continues to work in you and change you even after you have closed the Bible and walked away. So when you're reading the Bible plan, come with expectation in your heart. As you read it, God, I am opening your word now, knowing that you and your presence and your word are inseparable. Lord God, as I read this scripture, let it just transform my heart and my life. As I walk through this day, Lord God, let this message, these words of your truth just resonate in my heart and change me. As I come into this situation right now and I'm not sure what to do, Lord God, let your word come right now with your presence. To give me the right way of how to enter into this conversation, of how to make this change for a good outcome. Lord God, let your word transform my family. Let your word transform my children. Let your word transform this church. Let your word transform who we are, because your presence is with us as we read your word. So many testimonies we have heard and will continue to hear as we've read the Word of God and as it has transformed our hearts and our lives and our families. Because where God is, His Word is. And they are inseparable, and His presence is with us as we read His Word. I want to encourage you to continue to read the Word of God. Say, God, speak to me. I am your servant now with an open heart and a listening ear to hear what you're wanting to say to me. Reveal treasures to me from your word. Reveal who you are to me from your word. And let your presence be real to me as I read your word. You know, so many times I've been encouraged as I've read the word of God, because it's brought such hope and purpose into my life. We've got the word of God, amen. We've got boldness. What else can help us? These are obviously not exhaustive things, but these are just a few keys that I want to leave you with this morning. And the next one is thanksgiving and praise. In Psalm 95, verse 2, it says this: let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, or make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. This verse shows us two elements that bring us into the presence of God. The first one being thanksgiving. You know, one thing we can do during our day or our prayer time is to spend a few minutes thanking him for all he has done for us. It focuses our attention on the goodness and faithfulness of our God rather than ourselves. And it is a key to usher into the presence of God. The second being praise. Praise is similar to thanksgiving, but not the same. Thanksgiving honors God for what he's done, and praise honors him for who he is. As we praise God for who he is, we know that God inhabits the praises of his people and his presence is with us. So, you know, when you're in your quiet time, God, I just want to spend this time right now just thanking you for who you are. Oh, you know, I just thank you that you allowed your son to come and die for me. I just thank you that you've given me a purpose. You've given me a hope. I just thank you that you love me and that you want to be with me. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be wordy, but it just needs to be from your heart. God, I just come to you now, right now, with thanksgiving for who you are, for who you are in my life. And I want to take this moment just to praise your name, because you are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are a God of mercy. You are a God of lovingness and loving kindness. You are a God of grace. And right now, I just spend this moment wanting to thank you. I've read the word. I've thanked you for your blood. Now I just thank you and I praise you for who you are, because you are a good God. And we take this time to worship and honor you, because his presence is real. And it's here to transform your life. It's here to give you freedom. It's here to give you peace. It's here to give you purpose. Some of you have been feeling like, God, what's your plan for me this year? Right now, he wants to speak to you because his presence is here. He's here to give you purpose. He is here to give you a way. This is the way you should go. He's speaking to his people right now. Why? Because he loves you and he cares for you. The weight of your presence, mighty God. The weight of your presence, Holy Spirit. I can't do it. Only you can. And right now we invite you. Right now, as a church, we've opened the door to who you are. Come. come and speak to us. Come and be with us, because your presence is real. We don't want to come with fear this morning, mighty God, but we want to come with boldness and with no hesitation because of who you are. And we come with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. Make a joyful noise. We see both these elements of thanksgiving and praise in the following psalm. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 2. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The joyful noise we are to make represents the praise that we can give our God this morning. We are to come before his presence with singing. Some of us here may not be able to carry a tune, and I won't look at anybody when I say that, but we can all sing a song of praise from our heart. Amen. God will honor that by filling your heart and where you are with the sweetness of his presence. We don't have to sing in tune to make a joyful noise of praise to our God. We just have to make a noise. I can't help but make a noise because of who you are, mighty God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I can imagine Obed-Edom doing that as he was a gatekeeper. He would have been at those gates with thanksgiving, and he would have been at those courts with praise. Here again, we see these two elements of thanksgiving and praise. We are told that thanksgiving will get you through the gates, and praise will get you through the courts with boldness and with no hesitation. Make a joyful noise with thanksgiving and praise. This morning, before I close, what can help us? Having boldness, using his word, and thanksgiving, praise, and making a joyful noise. If there is one thing that you remember about Obed-Edom this morning, is that his experience changed him so much and created such a desire in him for the presence of God, and all he wanted to do was be where God was. And I just want that to stir in your hearts this morning, just that desire, just to want to be where God is and his presence to be with you on a daily basis. And thank goodness it is. Because Obed-Edom desired the presence of God, God responded to him and his hunger, and took him on a journey to unveiling more and more about himself to Obed-Edom. Wherever you are right now with your desire for the presence of God, let me encourage you to continue to desire more of him, allowing God to take you on a journey of getting to know him more. Remember, he loves you and he wants to be with you. And this morning, even if you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity to meet him and start this wonderful journey of getting to know him and desiring his presence.